classic opening from Ronnie Williams. Hey, you want to enter in, Gare?
There we are. What's up? What's up, everybody?
Welcome to the Nostradamus Show, this edition. We skipped another week, had the mass shooting, and you went out of town for a couple of days, Gary.
I was out for 4 days, yes, sir. How's everything going? Good on your end?
I didn't okay that vacation time anyway, but we'll look at that.
I went above
on a different time.
I went to Mr. Danier. I went above you.
And we need some more volume on you.
On me?
Yeah, there we go.
Let me make sure it's not bad. Yeah, I'm all the way up here.
There you go.
All right.
Hey, tonight on the show, I have a special guest, a special friend. And did you figure out how he knows your... Tell him his name.
Scott Mayer. Scott Mayer told me to tell Gary hello.
Scott Mayer.
He's the editorial director at Sporting Classics.
Scott Mayer. It sounds so familiar, but I can't place a face with it.
Yeah, he must know you. He told me to tell you.
Well, you tell him I said hello. I'll look him up when we're done.
I'll do that.
When somebody says they know me, it's usually, uh-oh, that can't be good. Turn yourself up again. Yeah. There we go. My special guest, and again, special friend, I want to tell you, before I introduce him, how in the world we met and the ride to get here. But playing baseball downtown, he went to Akron, played for Akron. I went to Kent, played there, and we hooked up in Double A, and he was on another team, and I was already the registered nut. And here comes the new younger version, and it's Tony Crewitt. I remember watching him play, going, wow, he's a hustling kind of guy, you know, really intense guy. I remember watching him play, but
all athletic. I'm over here playing music.
Didn't realize how tall you were. The way you're built in that, you don't get the full how big you are until you get close. So if we go against each other all these years, and then all of a sudden we end up on the same team called the Padres, with every bad boy in town was on the same team. And teams would actually just tell their players, just shut up and let's get out of here alive. Because we'd fight amongst ourselves, the fans. I'm in the batter's box, and the lady goes, your uniform's too tight. I go, time out. Anything you would wear is too tight. So why don't you just shut your mouth? Yeah, so there was a lot of... Or how about the time where they're calling me hot dog and stuff, and I finally hit a ground ball to the shortstop. I remember running to first base going, I'm done with this crowd. I got around the back, got in the stands with everybody. I go, hey, how you guys doing? Having fun? I'm going to end the fun.
We got to pull you out. You know, and that was no undertaking.
And they go, we're allowed to say whatever we want. I go, you see all those other players, all those other numbers? Get on somebody else's ass, not mine.
Well, I'm telling you, it has to be a real joy playing sports with Thomas. I'll tell you that.
Oh, it was.
So we became so close because there's so many idiots. Like at Packard Park, we had a hill full of people fighting with us. So I looked at him, he looked at me. We charged up the hill and went after him, like just what anybody does at a game. And then he'd be at my door with a big case of Coulter's 29. What's up? So that's kind of the ground, and there's a lot more to that that we could segue, because he played left field and I played shortstop, and he'd be out there mumbling stuff. Like I'd be just sitting there going, oh my God, who's he talking about? Like, get the blank out of there, your mother, you know, the whole time. And finally, this guy who was a really cocky kid catcher named Tony Peters hits a home run, and he's standing there watching it. Crew goes back. It's over the fence. He turns around. Start running before I come in there and kick your ass. Start running real fast around the base. And I go, oh, my God. Like, I know. I'm thinking, how can I possibly be the voice of reason in something like this?
Yeah, that's right.
He hit off our major league player, who was, like, throwing. These guys are, like, all excited that they're hitting him. And I go, time out. I go, Darren, you're a major league pitcher. These guys are ripping ropes. I go, I'd like to bat against you right now. So, well, I'd like to loosen up my arm. I go, you better start throwing fork balls or something because this is looking bad for you.
I'm in the dugout.
All of a sudden, he starts throwing boom, strike three. Boom. I mean, he's like whiffing everybody.
6 months ago, he's striking out Jack.
Yeah, he was striking out Tony Gwynn, and now you can't get Billy Bob Johnson out down here. So that's kind of a little background. So I want to talk. I've been trying to get a hold of him. We lost touch there for a while. Probably what, the early 2000s? Well, I had you at the Rib Fest a couple of times. We would hit and miss a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Then I lost track of him. And I actually paid money to find a cell phone number that was connected to him. Because I go, here's one of the few people I do want to see. You know, that's a rare thing. You know how that is.
Oh, yeah.
And I finally hooked back with him. And here he is on the show finally with Tom and Gary and Nostra Thomas. So
that's right on.
Be here too. You know, it's tough to find Tarzan in the jungle. That's why he had to pay.
Yeah. You have to have some electronic stuff to get tracked down.
GPS and ask the family in the holler where Tarzan's at, where he's hunting.
Where's good stuff.
Now I want to. So you write articles for the Sporting Classics.
Yes.
Which is really cool because I was making jokes on Facebook saying, what are you doing wrestling bears? And what's the battle-scarred warrior bear was the article.
Lone Eagle was the name of the story.
But, oh, wow.
I don't contribute. I'm not a regular contributor, but I sell what I can to them, and I get rejections like everybody else.
He's got a shirt on that says Papa Bear.
I like that. Yeah, this shirt. You know what? This is the new me. This shirt, I'm the Papa Bear to 7 gifts from God. My grandchildren are everything to me, and this is why I'm wearing. My stepdaughter bought me this shirt, and I told my grandkids I was going to wear the Papa
Bear shirt. Oh, how sweet is that?
That's awesome.
See how I...
No, he's wait. If you don't know him, you just try to avoid him like the plague. But I know him, so I know how sweet he is. Like, he's really good to his girl, and he's really good to my wife. He's just a really sweet guy. But there's some moments that, like, oh my gosh, you just let's get out of here, start running.
But you know what, Gary? That was in the past, Gary. I'm maturing. But you know, I really sell that. Well, I married my wonderful wife, Teresa. That awesome. That's when my life changed. You know,
that's good.
Has 3 great kids, and
we're all older now. That's what happens. I think you get older. My father-in-law told me a while ago. You get older, you get softer, because even when I hunt now, I see a deer come up in front of me, I'm like, get out of here, get. I shoot away. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't want to shoot it. So you get softer as you get older. It's a true statement. And that's good.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I passed.
And it's hard in this soft world to get softer.
Oh, yeah, it sure is.
All right. So we got through that. And I know you guys, I want to talk about some gun stuff with you two guys right now.
Yes, sir.
Because all we're doing and seeing is all this gun violence. You notice how they always name it something that, like, it's really not.
It's
called nut violence. It is a gun or a hammer or a car or whatever is the front of that. But it's not, because apparently they're not worried about the gun violence in Chicago or New York or any of these cities. But they're worried about these, which happen and probably are going to continue happening. I don't care what you do. If somebody's heck bent on killing somebody, you don't think they go down to the gun store. Oh, I can't get a gun. Oh, shoot, dang. I'm not going to kill anybody today. No, they'll go find something.
Well, right before we got on the air, I read the article on the Tulsa, Oklahoma shooting at that hospital. And the gentleman that went in there, he went in there. At 2:00, he purchased an AR-15, and with the letter that he wrote, he intended to kill the doctor that took care of him. So he purchased an AR-15 at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, whatever day that shooting was on. I didn't see that. But then the shooting occurred at like 4:40 something, right before 5 o'clock. So he just went and bought it and then went back to the hospital, killed two doctors, one of which who treated him. And I guess it was because his pain wasn't lifting. And then he killed a receptionist. And then I believe, don't quote me, I didn't read the whole article. I just caught that part before we come on the air. He took his own life, I think.
He had two guns. Confused. Yeah, he used the other one to kill himself. Yep.
But I just read it. You know, I just got a two o'clock and killed the guy at four.
If you can do whatever you want, I think the school should be safer. I think you should have metal detectors. Like I go get a title in the government offices and I got to empty my dang pockets and that. You should at least have as many safeguards in the school now as possible. But some nut could sit out in the bushes and pick you off when you come out of the school. So there's only so much you can do when some mentally deranged nut decides they want to do that. Mm-hmm. But I think we've become such a soft society that nobody can take any kind of lost their girlfriend. You know, the doctor did a bad job. The kids at school didn't like me. I didn't graduate. No matter what it is, everybody falls apart because we've been coddled so long that they don't even know how to handle something tough at this point.
That's where it starts, man. You know, it's not the gun's fault. It's not the gun. You know, people text and drive.
That's
and
exactly right.
This. Yeah. You know, we don't get rid of cars. You know, when people kill people, you know, distracted driving, and so it's not the gun. Yeah. Do we need do we need gun control? Yes, we need gun. Every idiot out there can't have a gun. Yes, we do have that Second Amendment right. But like my Uncle Don brought up today, I was just talking to him and he said, you know, when that amendment was adopted, we were shooting muskets. You know, people didn't have,
that's true,
you know, semi-automatic weapons. Things changed. Right. So we have to get the guns out.
They
got to
definitely reform
hands.
It. There's a
and we bill do. Right, well, what now, do you think?
On the line,
what is the, yeah, what is the, what reform do you think? Is it like background check? I think if somebody's got a mental history, you're not getting a gun. I don't care if you're good now or not.
The scary thing is, though, a lot of these idiots shooting these schools up, they don't have a bad background.
They don't have any background.
Yeah, like you said, these guys were coddled, you know, growing. And so when things don't go right, they just snap. And so I think we have to get back to the root of the problem, and that's, you know, having accountability, you know, be responsible for our actions. And you know what? Have stiffer laws for repeat offenders. What did I tell you? I think it was 96%
of all
violent
number?
Crimes are committed by repeat offenders.
96%.
And that's these guys, the system letting these guys out because they feel sorry for them, because, you know, the same people that want to get rid of guns want to get rid of prisons too, because they say they're too barbaric. They say, oh, let's reform everybody. You know, there's people out there that just cannot be reformed.
And child molesters, you're out.
You know what? I want to tell you something right there. That's a cause right there. Obliterate the bastards, you know.
There's no coming back from that.
Yeah.
You don't just snap out of that, please.
Right now, I'm on a page with a group, about 43 people, and a lady named Jody just posted that there's a bill right now on DeWine's desk where they want to start arming the teachers. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but if you got a teacher that's a whack job, they might go around, start shooting up students and just freak out and take their own life also. But the thing is, they have to have the proper training.
True. That's exactly right.
Here's the thing. When a gunman, like this kid that was in Texas and shot up, he had two AR-15s. He had body armor on. This kid was like 18 years old. He knew exactly what he was going to do and when he was going to do it. But if they know that there's other weapons going to be firing back at them, those crimes would have never been committed. I don't think.
Yeah.
Exactly. Most of the time, if you know you're looking
you're right.
You ain't going to fight.
That's right.
You know, and Gary, all this is happening in a gun-free zone where the good guys can't carry guns. Like I told
you, it's a soft zone. They know it's a soft zone.
And they prey on that. They know that me and you, the good guys out there, aren't going to yank out a free caliber and blow their heads
off. Don't be so sure of yourself,
innocent people.
You know? Don't be so sure of yourself.
But they're in a But you know, we're not allowed to carry the guns in these zones. But the criminal, like
yeah, I the criminals about, always follow yeah, laws. Like they're gonna so you should put say, up some more laws. Yeah,
okay, let me put my gun here. Let me give it to Marshall.
Yeah, I'll lay it down here in the shrubs while yeah. I go in.
It's just like it's, drug dealers. Drugs are illegal, but the drug dealers always find the drugs. Always, they always exactly. find it. Just what like guns. You,
just like prohibition.
Prohibition, baby. What happened when prohibition? There was more alcohol sold in speakeasies. Yes. Hell, the cops were rapping on the door with their nightsticks to get a nightcap. you know who made the money? Al Capone and the gangsters.
And, you know, so you can't. There was more. You can't tell these politicians none of that because they have armed guards around them 24/7. They don't worry about that. Beautiful. They don't care 2 cents about us. None of them do.
That's exactly right.
It's a blatant lie.
They want to do away with guns, but they have an arm, you know.
Yeah, Justin Trudeau from Canada. This oh, not gay.
That's why I
don't wait, like you went, that dude. I'd like to fight him.
How about that piece of shit? Wait, froze bank accounts because they were honking truck horns. Oh. And now, with guns all around you, you want to tell us we don't need those.
Yeah.
Really?
Getting back to the repeat offenders, my good buddy Joe the Bull Garrow, he was in law enforcement. He was a Stark County sheriff's deputy. He said, you know, he would arrest these guys on violent crimes or what, you know. He said the next day, they're back out on the streets, you know. It's like the system's letting them go. It's like, how about taking these guys and putting a hammer down on them, you know? I mean,
or either that, or look, a guy freaked out, got in a fight, or whatever he did, and something happened. What do you think these people are going to do when you send them back home? They've got this thing on their record.
Now they're going to be real mad.
What do you think they're going to do? They're going to go right back to crime. What else are they supposed to do? I don't know.
No, that's a good point. It is. And I had this discussion. You really can't blame the employer, especially with, you know, depending on what the offense is.
Yeah, depending on what it is. Right. Yeah. I'm just saying.
If
like,
you're a bank president and the guy's just.
He just stole the button. Bro, I'm telling you what.
Bank's truck, you're not going to hire.
Some of these crime shows. How about the guy, apartment guy with a key to every room who was on, who just was arrested and out of jail for robbery and. And rape. Okay, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna give you the key to all the rooms and hope that you just got your lesson and don't steal stuff.
Yeah, hold out your wrist.
I seen a video the other day. It was kind of graphic, but it was in a bank, and it was broad daylight. And this gentleman was at the teller. He had a pair of shorts on, t-shirt, and flip flops. And the camera was like behind him, so you could see him and you could see the top of the teller, the lady's head. This guy come over his left shoulder, all dressed in black, and pulled the gun out and pointed it at that lady. And that guy that was at the bank scooted to the right. He pulled his pistol out and went, boom, shot that guy point blank, right in the head. The guy fell back. His arms were sticking straight out like he got hit in the the UFC. And I was like, whoo, I couldn't believe it. Because it didn't show, like, it wasn't no blood or nothing. But the guy, like, moved out of the way because he was scared. He pulled out his pistol and just went boom. And those are prices you got to pay, man, especially when people are carrying.
Yeah. And if they thought a little more about that, somebody might have one, they might be less apt to do it.
They need to show this.
They're not stupid.
They need to show it on the nightly news when the children are sleeping and let these people think about what could happen. They don't, some don't care. Some don't care what happens, but there's other ones. If you know you're going to go shoot up a place, but there's going to be bullets flying back at you, you're more likely not going to do it.
Exactly. What is it? Singapore, where if you're caught stealing, they hack off a limb, yeah. an arm or something. Guess what they don't do in Singapore?
they don't do a whole lot.
They may jaywalk in Singapore, but they don't steal.
Well, I tell you what, bringing up Singapore, how about when you have no guns in your society and they just tell you have to stay in your room for the rest of your life, and you have no way around all that. That's what's coming, liberals who want that kind of control, because that's what they can do once they grab all your weapons.
I don't think they'll ever get their weapons. I don't think they'll ever get them.
They want them.
I know they want. Yeah.
There's a shortage of them wanting them.
For years they've been.
Look, all you need to do is start with one type of gun, and that's when it starts going. Once they start that. where you could no longer get an AR-15 or whatever. You can't get a certain one. As soon as that starts, then it's why we're allowed to have this. Why don't we get rid of that?
Well, here's the thing.
That's what I think. I mean,
anybody from the NRA would know my AR-15 is a .223. I got a wooden stock rifle with a scope on it, just it's a varmint scope, but it looks like a sniper scope. It's a .22-250. Basically, what it is a .22 long shell that looks like a miniature .30-06 shell. I can whack somebody at 500 yards on a dead sprint. AR-15, that would be hard to do, but you can do it. But it's no different. It's just the looks of the AR-15. It's an assault rifle. It's not an assault rifle.
It looks like an army weapon.
Like a military, yes. And that's these crooked politicians. I like to smack every one of them in Washington, I swear.
What weapons are you using out there to kill them bears?
You know, no worries for me. I'm shooting them with a bow, and I'm not that good. So yeah, if you're beyond 40 yards, you're good. But I have bolt action rifles. You know, .30-06 and you know, I and several. You know, for hunting. As a matter of fact, I killed not my last bear. The bear before that, I killed with a .45-70. You know, so, and that's straight walled cartridge, but, and that's going to go maybe 150 yards, no different than a saboted slug in a shotgun barrel. But, you know, I'm just a shotgun guy. I'm not a big AR. My brother has an AR. I know several people that do. And again, nothing against them. I don't believe in banning those things. I do believe in maybe some stiffer background checks. I don't think, some loony bird should be able to go into a gun show and walk out with one with ammo.
I you know what, I was always concerned at my show, not so much concerned for the, but a concern that the police that I had running the show weren't concerned that the doors, people coming and going out and out around the perimeter, could let somebody in. They could hide in the back until the show was over, and they're just too lazy to walk around. Like, guys, this is, oh, come on. I got people coming and going. I don't know who they are. They're bringing stuff in.
How do you do
it? It just bothered me.
How do you do a thorough background check, though, in a gun show and somebody purchases?
I don't know. We got in trouble because the guy had a hat cam on, and he came to one of the shows and was able to purchase a weapon at the show. But of course they left out all the other stuff. They just had him buying it, looking like he just walked up and threw some money down. And I had to go through hell with that. That was that goofball Green Bert, whatever the heck his name was, from New York, actually sent somebody to my Niles, Ohio show to try to, yeah.
I mean, do both you guys actually think it's, I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but all of a sudden, you got midterms coming up, and now all these mass shootings start again. Once the old mass shootings went away, you didn't hear nothing about them. Now something's coming up. Now there's all these mass shootings. I mean, it just seems really weird to me that they're all taking place within days of each other.
You know what? I just had, speaking of Joe Garrow, we talked about that. And
I don't believe in any coincidences.
You know,
and yes, we do have, let me clear up something. Every sale between a customer and a gun show dealer is a background check. Every single one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody walks in there. The only way you can get around is if a dealer trades a dealer or that type of transaction. But everybody else, they have a right there at that table, a background check. So go ahead.
Do you also know that there's no such thing as transfer of guns? Like, you, if I sell you a gun or you a gun, only thing I have is a bill of sale. That's all the state of Ohio requires, is a bill of sale. And then I'd say, okay, Tom, I'm selling you a Springfield XD45 semi-auto and the case and this for this much money, and you sign it and I sign it, and that's it. There ain't no such thing as transferring, oh, this gun's, you know, in my name. What do they call that? It's in your name, or it's I can't remember what they called it. It was like a technical term. Well, I talked to a guy at the gun show right there at Yankee Lake. I was with my father and the one on Atlantic Street in Warren at the church. And they said, there's no such thing as this gun's registered. That's what he said. I goes, this gun registered to me? He goes, no, not state of Ohio. The only thing is bill of sale. And if I sell it, that's all you do. You give them a receipt, what they bought, what came with it. They sign it, you sign it. He gets a copy, I get a copy, and that's that. That's it. It's kind of crazy.
But there's still a paper trail.
Yeah, there's a receipt.
Yeah, like, there's
like I want a gun. I want a gun at a Springfield XD at the Stalker Gun Show at the Greek Church, and it. I couldn't get my gun till I wanted about 11:30 in the morning, and I couldn't get it till almost 3 o'clock. So they did a thorough check on me, and all I got was a bill of sale. Because I asked them, I said, "What if I sell this gun?" He goes, "All it is a bill of sale." So. I don't know. There's other states, I'm sure, you got to register your guns. But I don't think guns are a problem. I agree. They're not the problem. I've had guns in my possession my whole life, and they ain't never killed one person.
Isn't the purchase of the gun after you get the background check, isn't that the registering of the gun? You don't call up and, hey, this is so-and-so. I got a BB gun.
It's registered there. Okay. So he's talking about if I sell a gun to you. Now what you're talking about, Gary, like after the initial sale.
If you walk into a gun store and purchase a weapon, a gun, they take your license and do a full background check on you. That's right. I don't need that background check or that paperwork to sell it to either one of you guys. All I got to do is write out a receipt.
Exactly. Right.
Told you this kind
That's
of
where it ends.
Yeah. They got a trail on me. Okay. Yeah. Well, Gary bought that gun back in 2005 at Stalkers. But this guy purchased it with this receipt in 2014. So that's all that's all they have.
Yeah, but if you sold it to a crazy nut, then you're on the hook, though, right?
No, you're not.
I mean, it's up to you to look.
Because you have a bill of sale saying you sold it. I don't. How am I supposed to know? I can't do a background check on that guy.
No, I always thought if it was obvious somebody was a criminal and you sell them a gun, you're going to pay if that gun ends up
if
in
it's
a
still in your name. Yeah. And I guess it would be too, if you purchase that gun, it's registered in your name and you sell it to Joe Blow and he goes out and kills somebody. It's still in, you know, the seller's name. Well, so it wouldn't go back to them.
If you just remember recently, Joe Blow Biden he's putting some bills together about the weapons. And he said, if somebody steals a gun out of my house and commits a crime with it, I could get 5 years in prison, a big healthy fine, and lose my gun rights. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make that a bill. As of today, I don't think that's the case. Somebody steals your weapon, and if you didn't know they took it, and they commit a crime with it, they're still responsible.
No, you can't. You can't. And there you go again with, I'm sorry, it's that liberal way of thinking. It's, there you go. It's someone else's fault. It's not that shooter's fault. It's the cat that he stole the gun from.
That's
what we got to get away from. Right. Accountability. Mm. It's the jackass pulling the trigger. It's not the
exactly
gun.
Right.
You know, I had some anti-gun guy come up to me. It was the same guy that questioned me when he asked me when I was eating deer meat. He asked what the deer did to me. And meanwhile, he's eating a ham sandwich. And I said, well, what'd that pig ever do to you? And he didn't get it. So enough said.
You might have been talking about something other than a pig or actual pig animal. So
that's great. That's true.
But this guy told me, he goes, wherever there's guns, there's gun violence. And I said, well, opening day of gun season in my neck of the woods, there's probably 1,000 guns out there and not one guy's been killed. So
exactly.
It's not where the guns are, it's where the idiots are.
That's exactly
and that's what
right.
we have to remember.
And just like these animal activists,
and
you shouldn't
there
kill
are
animals.
A lot. Oh, you're right. Animals, okay. I was actually right. Hold on. I just got Michael Mailer said I was right about the make sure you're not selling it to a crazy nut felon guy.
Exactly. You know, and I agree with that. I mean, I agree. There definitely should be stiffer laws, no doubt. You shouldn't just anybody shouldn't just be able to walk in or get a gun and walk out within 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Doing the, I got to tell you, I was doing an MMA show. And I had some roadies working for me, and it's a guy. I won't even say who, what. Now he just said, "Look, if you think for 1 minute we get." What we get at a store or off anything credible, you're crazy. He goes, we're not going in front of cameras when we buy a gun. We're not doing nothing like that. We're buying guns in the underground where there's a market. If there's a market, there's somebody selling it. Trust me, if you think for 1 minute you're going to shut down a gun store,
I know a
and
guy
think you're shutting down anything, you're out of your damn mind.
No, you can make your own guns.
Because now all you did was ruin it for you to go to the store and get a gun.
Yeah.
And they're going to get theirs with the serial number filed off and whatever.
I actually knew somebody that ran guns and went to prison for 5 years for it.
Well, anything that somebody wants, somebody will be selling it.
Oh, yeah. They'll
I don't
find
care.
It.
Drugs, whatever. But how about Trudeau? He's okay with fentanyl being legal in Canada, but not guns.
That guy's a goofball.
There's more people dying from that than guns in a,
that's why
every single day.
I told Tom I go to Canada every spring. My son-in-law and I go, and I've been going there for some years now. Every spring, I love it. And I should be up there right now. But because I'm not getting vaccinated. And no. I'm not going to get vaccinated just so I can go up to Canada and shoot a bear, you know, 1 week out of the year.
You might get the bear COVID. So no, you're not.
You know, I could. I got other places I can get a bear. But, that's the only thing I miss. I may never go back to Canada. I love it up there.
Do you eat bear?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I'm telling you, Gary.
Holy.
I'm not bragging.
He's a mountain man.
My buddy, Bill Abrams, he's an Iroquois Indian. And I used to go with him when he would hunt bear on the reservation. And then we, you know, go elsewhere to Canada, whatever. But he showed me how to make bear ribs. And bear
instead
ribs.
Of spare ribs.
Instead of spare ribs, it's bear ribs. And I'm telling you, it is the best ribs. They rival my father-in-law's ribs. That's what I'm doing. And my dad's, my late father's, my dad used to make some great ribs too. But bear meat is excellent.
Well,
now with no taste or smell, I can eat a bear hoof right now.
I was invited
can't taste it.
No?
To go bear hunting up in Canada 1 year when I worked at Packer Electric. And I'm a big avid bow hunter myself. And he let me hear a cassette tape. This is how long ago it was. He hit a bear with his bow, and this thing let out a death cry. Like, and I right there, I was nope, I ain't going. I can't do it. I ain't going.
It's haunting. Yes. You know, I only heard that from one of the bears I've killed. It was up in Quebec, and I arrowed one, and I heard the death ball, and it's kind of haunting. You know, it does.
Right.
It'll stand the hairs on your nape, you know, but that's about the only one I've ever heard. And I've killed, you know, quite a few bears, and you don't get that with every bear. But,
that's where that soft spot come out of me. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's kind of haunting, you know. As a matter of fact, I always said if I'd go back, I think I would just do the help with the skinning and the tracking and help, you know, set guys up and just go up there and fish.
Let's see.
So much to say to that. Skinning. Yeah, I'm not helping with the skinning either. I'll help you carry the shit to the truck with that, but
the way our food source is going, we might all be skinning the way our food source is going.
You might be right.
You know what? We might be in trouble. Tom will be calling me on the old soup can. He'll be saying, hey, Crusher, because I need hunt me a deer, man.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
I might Crusher. Be doing that. Well, you got Crusher. Any bear legs left?
Any bear
the
ribs?
The first meal in bear camp is fried bear heart and butter and onion.
Who doesn't have that their first day?
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Woo. Okay. Next.
Well, I can tell you. I am so. How about when my dad caught a rat and was hitting it with a bat, and it was screaming. And my mom was screaming after the rat screamed. My mom screamed, and believe it or not, I moved my mom out of the way to get out of there. Mom, you're on your own. I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah,
the rat scream was enough for me, let alone a bear scream.
Unfortunately, we do have those
my dad's
pets.
Hitting it with. Come on,
I can see your dad. Your dad, my dad, great. I tell you, my old man and your dad, they were just tough, old school, you know, tough love, man. And I love your dad. And, yeah, that's what makes me, you know, think about playing ball, you know, your dad and my dad.
We had what happened, Gary, is we had a we had a graduation party for my niece, Annie, which was real good friends with Vince. So I went to this thing, and Jeff Steiner from Girard, he's throwing it. So now I got all these players that I played with, Joe Nay and everybody. And right away it starts, like, I can't avoid it. And everybody has a version of the story, but it's not really the actual story. So I help them a little bit. No, no, no. I hit a grounder up the middle, and I'm running to first base going, you dumb ass. And I'm calling myself a bunch of names. That's a hit. Nice hit. And a guy in the stands goes, I never heard some idiot bitching about a hit. Who does that? And I turned around. I go, a guy that's 6'4", 230 pounds, and 33 years old. I don't come down here to hit grounders. Shut up. And that was the end. I blamed him like that. What a stupid comment from him. You know, he's the idiot. But then the stories start coming from crew. Remember crew? Oh, bro, I didn't know the story where you were talking. Your girlfriend was talking to somebody out in the parking lot. He climbed the fence and ran over.
Yeah, I was in left field.
Called timeout.
And that kind of you had to jog my memory. I really forgot about that. And I thought, Joe's full of, you know, and I thought, like, yeah, I think I did do that, you know.
I'll bet you.
And I think he was just asking her for directions or something.
As soon as I heard that, I go, that sounds like brother coming back with the milkshake story. I go, what? This is before I played with him. My brother goes, no, Tony Crew got a bad milkshake on the road during this tournament and turned it into the old West, like crazy.
That was intense. We were on the road. That was in Pennsylvania. So I knew I wasn't close to home. I can get away with that. Yeah. Donnie Finch was there. Just came to take this guy out for a milkshake.
Oh my God. But hey, Garrison, so we would have these like arm wrestling nights in the basement, this crazy stuff. And then I looked at him one night. I go, hold it. Don't we have a game in the morning? It's like 3 a.m. Oh, no. So he comes back and gets me. He's in such a bad mood. He's got chew in the mouth. We ain't said like 3 words for 25 miles.
We've been arm wrestling all night.
We're tearing up the basement.
Yeah, and I told him, I said, man, I'm in no mood. I said, I can't play. Yeah. And speaking of that, all those years of dip in Copenhagen, I finally quit. And boy, I'm going to, you know, 7 months now.
Good for you.
Blood pressure. Well, thanks.
Everything falls apart.
Everything falls apart. My blood pressure is sky high. My cholesterol goes up. Hell, I'm going to go back, start snapping the Copenhagen can or smoke Lucky Strikes or something. Because, yeah, I think my stress level went up when I got rid of the Copenhagen.
Non-filter.
Yeah, that's my old man. He used to drink Pabst Blue Ribbon, smoke non-filter, and have a dip of Copenhagen. I was like, man, you're hardcore.
My grandmother.
Well, that's why I tease my dad.
She used to drink straight black coffee. Jet black coffee, and roll her own cigarettes, Bugle Boys. And they'd come over and sit on my mom's front porch swinging. My grandpa would flick his asses right in the shirt pocket. He'd go, burp, burp, burp.
Well, I
wouldn't even get up. And then I got a call one day at work that my grandma passed away. So I went down to the hospital and, you know, paid my last respects to her. And I asked mom, I said, well, what grandma died from? They said a massive coronary heart attack. And I'm like, well, she drank 4 pots of coffee a day and smoked these non-filter cigarettes one after another. Both of them chain smoked, just one after another.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived to be 83, I think, 84 years old. But that was different back in the day.
There you go.
They put a bunch of garbage in that stuff now that'll just kill you deader than shit.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yep,
yeah, I don't know what you're smoking.
I don't smoke. I never chewed. I tried to chew one time. And I was in my tree stand. I about threw up and made a mess of my shorts. I was like, I'm done, man. I ain't ever eating that stuff again. I was bad. I was all green.
Oh, that was, I'm telling you what, I did some Silver Creek, me and my buddy Woodyard. Oh, man, I wasn't so sick. I've never been that sick in my life. We're walking around Nelson Ledges. Oh, I was pretty good all of a sudden. I was sicker than
a
dog.
A place to be dizzy.
Yeah, walking around on rocks,
cliffs.
Hey, I know we're getting close to the end here. Has anybody watched any sports? Well, you know what? Sports is supposed to be a place you go where you don't have to have all this political stuff. You just want to watch sports. Now, all of a sudden, you got Gabe Kapler sitting out the national anthem, and you got all these sportscasters now. They're all women or something. This has turned into the most political platform there is this ESPN and stuff. They're just... And Twitter, I can't stay on Twitter longer than 10 minutes from these crazy nut people.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr wears a mask when 40,000 people in the place isn't wearing one. Mm-hmm. How brain dead are you that isn't doing a dang thing?
I used to be a Popovich fan.
Because
of his mouth, I don't even want to. I've gotten so far away from the NBA, the NFL. I'm tired of the politics, you know.
It's hard to watch anymore. It really is.
It is.
I just want you to, some of my favorite musicians or actors, just shut up. I don't want to know your background. Right. I just want to watch the dang movie. Yeah.
I just read today that
shut your mouth and act.
Marion Barber.
Robert De Niro.
They just found him dead in his hotel room.
Who?
Marion Barber from Dallas. Marion Barber.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
38 years old.
He was in like trouble every day after he left.
Was he?
So what's next for you guys? What's coming up? What's interesting? What's next in here, if anything? What do we got?
Tomorrow night.
Although you did write a book you don't ever want to talk about.
Oh, you're talking about that. Okay.
What's up for you, Gary? You guys are playing at the Tattoo?
Tomorrow night, we're playing at the Metroplex for the Youngstown Classic Tattoo Convention. And then next Saturday, June 11th, we'll be at the Warren Amphitheater with Jason Aldean and Toby Keith Tributes. We start up at 5:30 and play to 7:30, I believe. So that's pretty much it. We kind of do one. We normally don't do them one a week, but they're pretty big shows, so we do those ones.
What about you, Crusher? What's next on the list?
You know, turkey season's over. I got a nice gobbler, and now I'm waiting on deer season and doing a little fishing, fly fishing in PA.
What company are you driving for?
Newell Rubbermaid. Just shoveling back and forth, drop and hook.
On a semi, though.
On a semi, yeah.
Yeah.
Gary's doing the semi.
Yeah, it's like I always said, it's like steel. I don't want to say it. My boss might be watching. He just gave me a good wage. So I don't want, it's tough work. Let me tell you.
You're barely alive.
Oh, yeah. They couldn't do it without me. I'm telling you. Yeah.
Well, I work.
They'd have to shut the coffee pots down because I get on the rate. We have our codes. You know? I shouldn't be saying I'm dumb, but we get on the horn, you know, and I give my MO, the trailer I have, you know, and then I'll say, hey, let's get some coffee. meet me in the conference room for some coffee.
Well, that reminds me of when they tried to get a hold of me, Truck 5, when I was delivering Tribune newspapers at night.
Oh, God.
I didn't sleep all night. I was at the VIP. And Truck 5, come in. Here's Truck 5. Hey, we have a load that needs dropped off in Newton Falls. Well, I look at we can't hear you. So they went on to the next driver. We're breaking up. I would love to do that for you, but currently. And that worked every time. They kept going, we got to get Tom's radio. Something wrong. Yeah, it is. Every time you ask me to do something,
so you do that stuff to me too. I know.
I made a mistake. How about I told somebody? I won't say that name because he might be watching. But once, you know, you're trying to, somebody's talking. Finally, with the cell phone, you could just cut off. So I'm telling this story to him. He goes, wait a minute. You do that to me all the time. I'll tell you later who it is.
You know what I learned? If you're talking to somebody on your cell phone and you don't want to talk to them, you don't want to hang up on them because it's rude, they said just click your phone in airplane mode and it'll say lost call. It'll show up that you actually dropped the call.
Or that, or just shut the phone off and it goes off. Oh, yeah. Dang it. What's wrong with this battery life? It only lasts through your conversation.
I was in a bad spot.
Well, hey, thanks for being here, Crusher. We could have got you a lot more stuff, but thanks. Hey, Joe, thanks for coming in when you thought we were doing it from location. Gary,
I was the lazy one. I was the lazy one doing it from location.
Well, I do appreciate it, and Tony.
Oh, hey,
and we'll be doing doing T Crew 2, sequel.
We'll do it from my house.
Yeah, he has a big log cabin home. We can do it from bears in the background.
The bear mounts and, you know,
bear ribs.
Real quick, I got to tell you, Gary, the one show I was watching, he had this writer on. He's talking about me, and he said, "Yeah, my buddy, they call him the Crusher." And I'm watching the show. I'm saying, "Hey, Tom, you're the one that gave me that name."
Yeah, I did. I gave it to him. They were calling him Cruiser. I go, what is he in the 1950s show? Yeah. Cruiser, my head. That's a crusher. Cruise. That ball's not cruising. It's crushed.
That's a cool name. That's a cool nickname.
Thanks,
Tony,
guys.
Man.
Thanks, Gary.
Nice meeting you guys. And then we'll see you next week.
Yeah, woo!
Let's do it. Boom. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would